Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Freedom of Species would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional owners of the land on which we broadcast today. We pay our respect to the elders of all of the lands on which we meet across Australia.
Welcome to Freedom of Species, the show that brings animal advocacy to the airwaves of 3CR. And you just heard Sally with Out of the Pan. And Sal's on every Sunday at 12. And the last song was Lions by Dire Straits.
Yeah.
So today it's Caroline and Trev in the studio.
Hey everyone.
Hello. We've been together for ages on the show, so it's
been a while.
Good to be back in the studio with you. And we love to introduce our guest, Pat. So Pat is definitely a friend of the show, a friend of 3CR. Pat was on Ruminations for quite some time, a fabulous show about homelessness advocacy and lived experience. And great to welcome you to Freedom of Species.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah. G'day, Pat.
Hey, how you going?
Pretty good.
And a nice sunny Sunday, arvo.
Yeah. A nice relaxed Sunday afternoon for sure. So we were chatting a bit about, you know, today and I think our connection through music.
Yeah.
And I think music is just so important, you know, to me, to many people, and particularly to my sort of political awareness. So we're going to talk a bit about anarcho-punk and talk about some of the influence on animal rights. And I think there's, you know, some really sort of deep connection there. But I wanted to ask you about some of the bands that have been, you know, really influential to you in your, you know, younger years and the ones that have really sort of stuck with you over time.
I get just as like just to sort of set it up, I think it's like – back in the day, like with LPs and CDs, oh, I guess LPs was back, like we're talking back in the early 80s, it was LPs and so there'd be a lot of literature, like, as you know, fanzines as part of the records and the scene then, like fanzines were really big and you felt like you were part of some, like a secret society or not necessarily secret, but you felt like you were part of something because... You know, rather than everything's like mass produced these days. And, and it was very sort of, for someone that was like a teenager in the northern suburbs of Melbourne, that felt really good. That was really important. Like listening to those ideas, you know, ideas of animal liberation, of anarchism, and I guess that other people felt the same way as you on the other side of the world. And what was also big back then was the bomb. You know, like nuclear disarmament was a big thing. I guess the environment was starting to that was starting to build momentum. So bands like Crass were really important. Yeah. Conflict especially.
Yes.
Who are much more sort of visceral and well, they were both angry, but I think Conflict sort of harnessed it a little bit. It was a little bit less intellectual and more aggressive, I found.
Yeah, yeah.
Bands like The Mob. Yeah. Who weren't as much animal lib from a different perspective, but Anti-Sect were big, Influx of Pink Indians, like especially with the vivisection stuff, you know, that really, you know, reminded you that this stuff that you could be wearing, you know, the leather, the perfume, the stuff that, you know, you've been encouraged, and then they'd make the connection with advertising, so they would be able to join the dots for you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So for a young person in the suburbs who was listening, you know, listening to this for the first time, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was an amazing – and so, yeah, I can't – yeah, I think that was incredibly important to my development, my, I guess, my political, I guess, consciousness.
Yeah.
I think it was incredibly important.
And I think back then it was one of the few ways of like alternative media, so to speak, like away from mainstream in that sort of sense. Because like these days there's obviously social media, there's YouTube, there's everything, there's all these platforms, there's different ways that, those ideas can come out. But back then in the 80s, it was heavily mainstream only. Yeah. And the avenues for having these alternative sort of discussions or viewpoints was limited.
Yeah.
And music was one of the main avenues.
And I guess what it also highlighted was how all the resources were monopolized by a certain group in society.
Mm.
And how few voices are actually there really were. And so this whole idea of, so what is pluralism? You know, countries still get criticized, like China, regardless of anything else, but like China, especially back then, the Soviet Union, and countries, and Cuba, and those sort of nominally communist countries were criticized for not being pluralist societies, when actually the voices that were on our media and were just as few, probably, and in some cases, maybe less.
Very homogenized. Yeah.
So unless you had access to some other ideas, whether it's through punk or your reading, you would never really, you know, people bought that and continue to sort of buy it and sort of believe that somehow Australia or the Western world, the West, is more free or more democratic or more pluralistic than other parts in the world, where in some cases we're not.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I really think in terms of those alternative voices to the mainstream, all of those inserts from cassette tapes and LPs were just a lifeline. You know, I can't remember which particular album, but I'm pretty sure it was a Dead Kennedys album where I was just really reading about what was happening on a dairy farm.
Yeah.
It blew my mind. Yeah. So it was just,
Or the Hunt Saboteurs. There's
so
UK.
Much of those connections, aren't there? Yeah.
Oh, I remember getting You're Already Dead and... Excuse me. In the fold out, they talked about the demonstrations in Italy in Aviano. So one of the main UN NATO bases, their main air base was in Aviano in Italy, and so that they talk about the protests that were happening there.
Yeah,
and you know, like Greenham Common in the UK. So it was a connection with what was happening overseas. It made you feel like you were part of something bigger than just yourself. So incredibly important.
Yeah, and for me, I think it was also really just questioning that mainstream media focus.
Yeah.
You know, and really starting to understand that we're lied to about a lot of things, you know. And when something's reported, really thinking critically about who's actually benefiting from this particular perspective being, you know, put forward.
And I just want to, in case
which is quite a...
in case there's young people listening that don't really understand the time frame, like this is before right-wing... groups and people really sort of hijack these terms like alternative news and, you know, like, because these days when you talk, like, I'm understanding the language we're using, it almost sounds like we're talking about these right-wing rabbit holes. And it's just such a shame that it's become that, because like there's truth in a way, like there are lies in the mainstream media, but you only hear about it these days when it's right-wing nut jobs that are saying that the real truth is even more ridiculous, that it's something about, like, you know, like Pizzagate or whatever those stupid things were, QAnon, all that sort of stuff, so we're not talking about that. I just want to be really clear, just in case people are getting the wrong idea. This is back when alternative was much more of a left-leaning slant.
It
wasn't just music, but obviously alternative music was a big thing, but there was alternative fashion, there's alternative, like, politics, there was alternative everything.
Yeah.
And it was against the mainstream, but it was to the left.
That's right. And it was more, and it was about choices that newsrooms made. It wasn't necessarily that they were lying. It was about the choices that they made.
The framing, the focus.
That's right. So whatever would get coverage. So those decisions that they made in those newsrooms were incredibly important about what, because they were, our media outlets were so restrict, or compared to now, there were so few.
Yeah.
And so there was only a few, you know, like there was the three main channels in the ABC. It wasn't even SBS, maybe. I think SBS would have just come into being. And so, yeah, it definitely was, you're right, it would have been much more, the alternative was the left. It wasn't like the alt-right that we have now.
Yeah.
Because the alt-right was representing the mainstream media, basically.
100%. 100%.
So their
views. This is back, the remnants of white Australia policy was still on the air, 100%. You know, things like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Yeah.
And also we should say that Pat and I are of a vintage that grew up where fanzines and going to a record shop and, you know, listening to independent radio and your friends, and that's the way we 100%. Sourced information.
Yeah.
Right? This we were pre-internet teenagers. Yeah.
It was all about doing it yourself and accessing and how you could do it for as little money as possible and doing it with other people. And that was really, I guess that was part of the ethos was – I'm less in touch with the, you know, like contemporary anarcho punk, but the anarcho punk of those days was very much about, you know, DIY and people coming together and doing things together. And as we were just talking about the importance of if you've, you know, you've had a tough time with your housing or whatever, being able to do something with other people, produce something of cultural significance in terms of a radio program or a band, a jam with the band or with your friends.
Mm.
It's a really important thing to be able to do. I guess those avenues are a lot more open these days because there are so many more outlets. But I think back in the day, and they still are, being able to do things for other people is a really important in terms of, you know, widening your horizons and feeling part of something. It can really help to sort of heal people, I guess, for want of a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those connections are so, so important. And, you know, I've never been in a band. I'm not a great musician, but I've certainly appreciated many bands and, you know, had friends, you know, in them, and just really enjoyed being around that energy and that exchange of ideas and, you know, dear friends of ours like Anthony Detour, you know, many, many different bands. And, you know, I remember going to his place and we had a bit of a like sort of poetry writing club, you know. It was just, a really great time to sort of be, connecting and I guess just really sort of questioning the world that we're living in.
Mm. And feel support, like having that support, the support of each other because, you know, you could feel really isolated.
Definitely.
There were times where you felt really isolated, but, you know, being able to come together with people of like mind through music that you would have met at a show or something like that, that support, it sort of gives you the sort of confidence to be able to follow it, like to keep going, basically. And the artistic process is a cool thing.
Yeah.
Whether that's, you know, jamming in a band, writing a poem or, you know, just, whatever, like putting on a show with other people, doing a radio show, it's all really important.
Making the zines.
Man, for sure.
Yeah.
So all that stuff. I think it's good for our spirit, I think. Not that I'm a particularly spiritual person, but I think just as people, they're really important things.
Yeah,
I think they are really important things. And it is about sort of, you know, that developing sort of ethos within you about, you know, alternative ways of being, not what we're told we have to do. I think that connection is kind of spiritual in a way.
It's as different from organized religion.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I think there's a connection as like a humanism type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
More, I would say it's more of like a human, that we're social beings, that we need to feel connected. I feel like I want to be connected to my, you know, my peers.
Yeah.
I think I feel better and healthier when I feel connected to my peers.
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, I think it does have, there's a spiritual element to it. Because in a lot of this, especially in anarcho music, it's less about, what it's pointing to is like, you know, our laws and parliaments, you know, religion. These are organized by, you know, organized by people of another generation. They really have nothing to do with our lives right now.
Exactly. Mm.
They're not really relevant to us.
Yeah.
And so it's really important that we create our own connections in our own sort of organizations to counter the dominant narrative, which has nothing, you know, like, which doesn't represent our interests. So parliaments are set up for people with resources, with capital. They create, you know, it's like negative gearing for people that own properties. Like the whole, I'll just go into the housing thing just for a moment, but like, you know, the whole idea of the housing crisis, like there's somehow scarcity of properties. There's not a scarcity of properties at all, but the media tells us that there is.
Yeah.
And people buy it and sort of feeds in. It keeps rents up. It keeps property prices up. And people believe this idea that somehow there's scarcity, which is, it's a capitalist con.
Yeah.
And the other one is it can happen to anyone. It doesn't just happen to anyone, mate. Homelessness doesn't happen to anyone. Like if you've got money, you can just live in a hotel. So it's being able to, like with the union, for example, having the homeless persons union, and it enables you to get up, say something like that and feel supported.
And that's
why anarcho-punk, I get anarchist music, those connections that you build through those, through listening to the music and going to see bands like that and developing those relationships, it enables you to challenge the dominant narrative and not just accept things just for the way they are, I guess. Geez, that was a rant one.
That was fantastic. Sorry. And I think as an extension of that, what I see in you, Pat, and in people in my circle, seeing that, understanding that the dominant narrative is upholding the state, right? And thinking about challenging that, but being an active participant in doing that. Because the easiest thing in the world is just to sit there and say that, you know,
we need system change.
Yeah, 100%. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like, it's difficult because that when you get to that stage of, like, I can see how these things are really horrible. And so you want to live an authentic life that's true to your values. And so, you know, you don't want to contribute to multinationals, and it's like, you know, you don't want to wear leather, and I've got leather shoes on right now, but trying to be as authentic as possible.
Yeah.
And also, you know, like within your means, because sometimes, you know, like a lot, these things are capitalized by the market and turn into like a fetish and can turn things into a fashion. But where was I going with this?
Challenging the things that we don't agree with, that kind of slant, or
I guess being aware that the mainstream is propped up by it's parliaments, it's the media. It's the military. Yeah. Like it has multiple sort of pillars developing sort of a response to that, a holistic response to that, it's very difficult to do on your own. That's why the connections we build through bands and organizations, whether it's through 3CR or the union, are really important. Yeah. I think that's where I was going with that.
That makes absolute sense. And as the media's been consolidated more and more that we've seen, there are a few opportunities for, you know, alternative sort of views. Definitely, you know, the internet has kind of changed that, you know, people can sort of, you know, put things out there. But then there's also an enormous amount of misinformation, disinformation, and the propping up of right-wing views that you were talking about earlier.
They're always going to try and maintain the way things are. And so they're the ones that are benefiting from. And so that's where capital's interests lie. And so it's always going to be easier for those guys to get access to the resources you need to be part. So to be part of the dialogue, you need money. You need capital. So, you know, it's become a little bit easier to be part of the conversation now because of the internet. But being able to reach people and consistently, because these aren't one-off messages, these guys are able to do it, you know, week in, week out.
Yeah.
And so they have access, you know, like because their messages are less threatening to the status quo, they're more likely to get the backing of, you know, I guess multinationals or people with cash, because those messages are less threatening to those people.
They get a bigger platform.
100%.
Yeah.
Should we have a track?
Yeah. Should we go to a song?
Which was the first one you wanted to play?
Ooh, that's a good question. We have.
You can choose. It's so hard. So hard.
I know.
Those are that you're already dead, or do they owe us a living?
Go. Okay. You're already dead.
Yeah. Look, let's go with that.
Okay. This is Crass. You're already dead.
Freedom of Species would like to thank Project Fresh Start for their financial support of this program. Project Fresh Start provides free plant-based food to the community, with a focus on providing healthy, fresh plant-based food and education around healthy eating and living in a way that sustains the individual, the community, the animals, and the planet. To find out more about our community lunches and programs, check out projectfreshstart.org.au.
Freedom of Species thanks Animal Free Science Advocacy for their financial support of this program. Animal Free Science Advocacy works to create a future where no animals are harmed in the name of science, and scientific progress is advanced through animal-free research methods. Become a member today by visiting animalfreesci.org.au. That's animalfreesci.org.au.
Welcome back to Freedom of Species. It's Caroline and Trev with our guest Pat today. We're talking about anarcho-punk and animal rights, and you just heard Crass, You're Already Dead. What a legendary seminal band Crass are.
Yeah.
Hugely influential.
And it's a whole package. It's the artwork as well. Like, the artwork was amazing.
Yeah.
And the... What are they called now? The short messages, what are they called? GIF? Is it a GIF?
So
they're quotes. Yeah. You know, there's no authority but yourself. I think that's them.
Yeah, it is.
They're really, they were before their time.
Definitely.
In a lot of ways. Being able to bring an awareness of, you know, the horrors of war, economic inequality, our lack, how little say we have in society, being able to bring that all together, you know, women's rights.
Yeah,
they're an incredible band.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Being able to bring that together, I think, takes a lot of insight and talent, and an amazing band, influential band.
Yeah. And I think that was at a really pivotal time too, as you were saying earlier, with, awareness around nuclear disarmament and huge inequality in the UK, where they're from. And there's some other really awesome, amazing bands of that time. And I must say, I really adore Conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both in their, I guess, political leanings about, challenging the use of animals. I think they were a bit more
It's more overt with them.
Yeah, they're more overt about that. I think they're sort of more overt around, you know, some of the direct action and things that they really supported. But they also produce some really incredible things, like, you know, the song A Message to Who, which is about a relationship breakdown. We have to put this in a
really
in the show notes.
Though.
It's absolutely, it's a beautiful song. Yeah.
It's actually really, it is really.
It's cool. Really sad. I can't listen to it without being really quite impacted by that. Yeah.
I guess you hear, like, I'm just thinking about that song, and you would have, you know, of relationships. It is really sad. That's a beautiful song.
Yeah. Yes. So where to from here? Like, obviously this music and, you know, things like that were really sort of influential to you sort of growing up, and I guess started to sort of help form your own sort of political views. And that's something that you've really sort of carried through, you know, with you in, you know, your life and the things that you're involved with now.
What am I involved with now? Is that what you ask?
Okay. What would you like to share?
Well, okay. So I think, for a long time I wasn't doing anything at all. I was really struggling. For a long time I struggled with just, drug use and stuff like that. And I think once I got housed, then I was able to sort of rebuild my life and get, you know, because I had hepatitis and all that sort of stuff kept me, really drained my energy. And so I guess what especially with this sort of music, it sort of highlighted. So this is what you can be up against. You know, capitalism can be really full on.
Mm.
You know, like if you're unemployed, you're not part of the mainstream. That feeling of social isolation, feeling alienated, feeling disenfranchised. It can be crushing.
Yeah, I think it locks people out,
and it does.
A feeling it's that they really can,
because that feeling is amplified when you're living in crisis or calm, or you're living in tough sort of situations, and all you're seeing is violence. You're constantly surrounded by violence, and so a lot of anarcho-punk is about how violent the world is.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like definitely. Violence represented through nuclear war and war. It's, you know, the macro, on a macro level, they don't talk about as much on the street-based stuff because it's a different sort of thing. But they talk about violence and how, social isolation and feeling excluded can make you feel like shit. You know, Crass have songs like Reject of Society and especially The Mob, you know, that feeling of not being included and feeling like there's nothing you can do about it. So what was really important, once I got housed and I got a bit more stable, I was able to do some radio stuff, and I think what's become really important now is the value of on lived experience. So I never would have got work if lived experience was never a thing. So I was able to get work because I had a lived, my homeless experience, and the way I live my life. So as an AOD, as a peer worker and as a peer worker in homelessness services, I was able to get work. And as an educator with the Council of Homeless Persons. What was really nice to feel like I had something I could offer. That I could be useful, because you can feel like you're useless. You know, the society at large can make you feel like you've got nothing to offer.
That's a core tenet of a capitalist society, right? If you're not consuming, and you're not consuming the things that we're telling you that you need to have in the way that, you know, we're saying you need to live your life, then you are lesser, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's really important that you're able to engage. The struggle isn't, it's not just a cool thing because, you know, you should do it because it's a good thing. It's important because of those relationships, because, you know, you learn stuff. It helps you heal yourself.
Yeah.
And you heal with other people.
Yeah.
And so engaging in the struggle, like, you know, especially if lived, you know, in Melbourne, especially like lived experience workers were the only people that will work with HIV patients at the start.
Right.
Yeah. When everyone was really frightened, they were giving out syringes. So, you know, and people with hepatitis, people who, you know, had difficulty with addiction. It was only lived experience workers that would work in those communities, and the professional sector learnt from those people, from lived experience people. And so that's where I found my value. I had an amazing peer worker when I first went on methadone, and someone that showed me that you can do your thing and still be a useful person and contribute and support others, because, you know, I want to be able to remind other people that just because you smoke pot or you use or whatever your thing is, that there's nothing that you can contribute. Like, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
I've seen people, I know people, and I know from my own life there's things that, you know, like we have a lived experience and that's taught us things about people and about society, and we can make a valuable contribution. So that's the sort of work I'm doing, advocacy work at a health centre in Richmond. And I really love that, you know, like I get paid to teach people how to respond to overdose, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, giving food out.
Yeah.
It's amazing work. Like, I feel really privileged, actually. I just want to be able to share with people, like, when you feel the biggest thing is stigma. You know, one of the beauties of anarcho-punk and stuff like anarcho-punk, it enables you to see through the stigma. It enables you to see through, you know, that sort of false consciousness shit. Sorry about the language. It enables you to see through the dominant narrative. It enables you to look through it because the stigma is systemic. It's public. It comes through, you know, institutions won't deal with you. Systems like health systems don't want, you know, the public representations of illicit drug users or of punks actually is really negative. They're suspicious people. Watch out for them. They don't eat meat. What's wrong with them?
Yeah.
You know, like, they don't want to wear leather, or they're criticizing you for wearing this perfume. What's wrong with those guys? You know, you have to be suspicious of these guys. If you can't see through, and then if you're by yourself, if you take in all these messages by yourself, it can be internalized, and you practice self-stigma. You could be your own worst enemy at times. So that's why it's important to make connections with other people, whether it's through community radio, bands, whatever you're interested in. Oh, if anyone was to say to me, so what should you do? Just hook up with other people. Find something that you're passionate about and hook up with other people. Because there's other people, you know, like, I think that's what anarcho-punk has taught me, is that, you know, like, together we can do shit.
Yeah.
Mm. There's lots of stuff that we can do.
Yeah.
You may not be able to change the world overnight.
Yeah.
But there's little incremental things that can make our lives better.
Yeah.
In small ways, but important ways.
Yeah.
So that's you know, like, through the Homeless Persons Union, it's been really important, you know, like, yeah, and being able to sort of see through, like, this the housing crisis. Yeah, that sort of garbage. And, you know, like, when we're in Bendigo Street, You know, all those houses that were bought for the East-West Link were empty, and there was 300 people sleeping rough in the CBD. That people were able to see the mainstream, you know, like sort of the ruling class, the capitalist class, they're able to sit with those things and they're okay with it. There's an empty house, people are on the street, and they feel okay with that situation. It's just, it blows me away how they can sit with that. I guess you should be pissed. You should be really angry. You know, they're taxpayers. Like, it's public land.
Of course.
So I guess that's the beauty of anarcho-punk in sort of, for someone from the suburbs, just to remind you of your value. We all have equal value as human beings, regardless of our class, our status, like your job, or you know, we're all equal, and that extends to animals. Their life is precious too, and how we treat the most vulnerable is sort of shows us how we treat. You know what I mean? It's how we treat, like for example, how we treat immigrants and people that are most vulnerable just shows the character of our society, I guess.
100% agree with that. Should we go to your next song?
Sorry.
What are we going to?
The double. We're going to do
Discharge.
Two from Discharge.
Let's do some Discharge.
Awesome.
So, introduce. We've got...
what was the first one? 16.
Track 19.
19. So this is a 19's Religion Instigates and speaks to the impacts of organized religion.
Standing Together for Public Housing is a campaign to stop the privatisation of public housing. Come to a public meeting at 6 p.m. on the 23rd of October at the Capitol Theatre to have your say on how to maintain and build more public housing instead of knocking it down. 6 p.m. Thursday, 23rd of October at the Capitol Theatre, 113 Swanson Street, Melbourne. For more details, see the Standing Together for Public Housing Facebook page. The Public Housing Campaign is a 3CR supporter.
The LGBTIQA Plus Multicultural Fair Day will be held in the city of Whittlesea this year. Funded by Whittlesea City Council and auspiced by Australian LGBTIQA Plus Multicultural Multifaith Council, the fair will have a strong human rights, social justice focus as experienced through an intersectional lens. The event is held in a safe, supportive, inclusive space consisting of art and skills-based workshops by Street Art Doyle Blender Studio, African drumming, recycled fashion and sustainable gardening, information stalls, food and giveaways. The LGBTIQA Plus Multicultural Fair Day, Saturday, November 8th, 3:30 till 7:30 p.m. at the Barry Road Community Activity Centre, 36 Barry Road, Thomastown. On-site parking available, entry is free and all are welcome. Whittlesea City Council is a 3CR supporter.
Welcome back to Freedom of Species. You're with Caroline, Trev and Pat, and we've been talking about anarcho-punk and animal rights. And the songs that we just heard, Pat, were?
Religion Instigates and War's No Fairy Tale.
Yeah, it was back-to-back for Discharge, wasn't it?
Yeah. Nice. Amazing.
Uncomplicated and direct.
Yeah. We'll put some links in the show notes to some, you know, fabulous bands to sort of look up. I do need to mention that 3CR have a regular donor campaign, and it's coming to the end of that awareness campaign today. So if you are interested or able to become a regular donor, your support really means that 3CR can, you know, stay independent. You know, we don't rely on any corporate sponsorship or government funding. And it really sort of helps just pay the bills, maintain the studios, train up the next generation of community broadcasters. So regular donors are really vital to keeping 3CR on air. So you can jump online and go to 3cr.org.au if you want to become a regular donor, or call the station during business hours on 9419 8377. So please show your solidarity if you can and become a regular donor.
Important message.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So we don't have too long left, unfortunately. It always happens that we sort of start running out of time. But I was thinking, like, just broadly in sort of wanting to make some connections for listeners. A lot of people who listen to our show are involved in animal rights or are vegan or interested in, you know, thinking about how they can minimize animal exploitation. And I think that thinking about this through an anarchist lens is really important. If you think about the state and how the state tries to control many parts of our lives, we talked a little bit about capitalism and, you know, really understanding that people and animals are really defined in a capitalist system as a unit of production. And these are the important, I guess, overlaps for us to sort of really be, you know, thinking about. I am going to throw a bunch of links in the show notes about different sort of books and people that we've spoken to in the past. Like one of my favorite publishers is Active Distribution in the UK. That's an incredible anarchist publisher. And, you know, recently we spoke with Nathan Poirier about veganicism. So that's the idea that veganism and anarchism really are the same thing. We should be against all oppression everywhere, all the time. And there's a bunch of other sort of books and things that have really sort of influenced me. I'm going to throw into the show notes. But
over to you, Pat. I was just going to say, like, there's some early, like, Peter Kropotkin based a lot of his anarchist writings on watching insects and animal, like, working together. And I guess it's a belief. Like, it's and the idea that we have a connect, that we do as people, as human beings, we have a connection, and that cooperation is something that should come sort of like it as an instinctual thing to us. You don't have to use authority to do something like that.
Yes.
To build societies, to build communities. It's not about being forced to do something because we need each other. Without each other, without the support of each other, we don't learn, we don't heal, because you need validation.
You
can't build anything in isolation. So I think that's a really important, like, foundation of anarchism is that there's a connection between people that, you know, is beyond, you know, like the synthetic, I guess, or the contrived devices built by the state that they've created these structures around us, and not just the state but capital, like the market. The state's the administrative arm of the free, you know, like of capitalism, I guess. You have the market, which dictates what your choices are, and the state that backs it up, I guess. So, like, there's a lot of things happening. But, yeah, like, I think, I agree with you. I think that we have this inherent... It's not necessarily, I mean, and the other thing about rules and stuff like that, it's not having rulers. We still need guidelines for us to follow as a community to make it work. But rather than, you know, like someone telling us what to do, us telling, you know, supporting each other to do things that are good for us.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that people who are involved in activism, you know, really should be aware of is the increasing militarization of police and the tactics and the weaponry that's being used against people who are, you know, protesting. And you have a protected right to protest, right? And there are really sort of draconian anti-protest laws that, you know, the government is really trying to introduce. And I think everybody should be really sort of concerned about that and fighting against that.
Yeah.
Because nothing has ever happened or nothing has ever changed in society by us just asking for it.
Yeah.
right?
100%. And public space, the militarization of public space of security.
Definitely,
guards.
Definitely.
So it's a creeping, it's becoming, it's it happens incrementally, but it happens.
Yeah.
And more and more, the state is going, and I guess local councils are part of the apparatus as well.
Yes.
Are going to solutions that about using force. And like I was, and sort of force and power, to try and get impose their version of what reality should be.
Yeah,
and it's scary because the people that it's directed against are the people that are least able to oppose it. That, you know, on a daily basis.
Yeah,
they're really vulnerable communities that are dealing with already so much other stuff. The last thing they need is some creep with a truncheon or, you know, handcuffs pushing them around. It's fucking offensive.
It's really wrong. And it's the demonization and also dehumanization that I also think that people really need to, you know, understand and be aware of.
It's really effective because they have control over so many the people who are able to promote, like project these ideas of who homeless people are or whoever is, are people that have control of all these levers, and to challenge that takes a lot of effort and, you know, like a lot of hard work.
Mm.
Because they control the councils, they control the state governments, they control, you know, like they already, you know, like with, especially with the city of Melbourne, the people that own businesses get 2 votes.
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
It's ridiculous.
When I found out, I thought, how does this stand?
Yeah.
Mm. I find that really, and so no wonder they get their way.
Yeah.
So the people that support, and so the people who spend all their money in the shops that are there all day, like, you know, homeless folks or people that hang around the city, they spend their dole checks in their shops. They get no say.
Yeah.
But the people who profit from the money that's spent in their shops get two votes.
Yeah.
So makes we have no sense. There's so many, like, I guess there's so many levels of I guess it's oppression, actually. It's horrible.
It is. Yeah.
It's oppressive.
Yeah, it is oppressive. And I think that's another thing that we do try and talk about a lot on the show are the multiple forms of oppression. These intersect, you know. Mm. These are not things that we can deal with in isolation, you know. So it's back hard. To your conversations about, you know, connection and community, and I really believe in being an active participant in life. I don't agree with something. What can I do? Who can I join with to oppose that? You know, what can we do to make some things better?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really important to focus on as well.
Yeah.
Have a positive, definitely. Because or else it can get really heavy to carry.
Yeah.
On your own. Or even just thinking about it on your own can be really depressing. So, reach out to people. And there's nothing like support. Support's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap up. But thanks, Pat. It's been a great chat.
It's been so awesome. I've had so much fun. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. We definitely want to get you to come back.
This has been Freedom of Species. We're on between 1 and 2 every Sunday. And coming up next is Rotations. That's from 2 till 3, and that's going to be playing some music for your Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
We are going to finish with, it's a Nausea song, I believe.
Yes.
Which one did you choose, Pat?
It's called Clutches from an American hardcore band called Nausea.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's an awesome song.
We're going to put links, I think, to a lot of the music that was played today in the notes.
Yeah.
And, so go and have a listen to those, because there's a few that we didn't play.
There's so much we
That's all right. We'll also put those other crass songs up in the notes as well.
So, we'll put a bunch of links there, lots of music to listen to. The last track from Nausea was called what, sorry?
The last track's called Clutches.
Clutches. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
We'll be on next week.
Have a great Sunday.
This is awesome. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.